Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Good afternoon, everybody. And it's a delight for... Thank you for Holly for that. It's a delight for Becky and I to be back. If we have not had the opportunity to meet and you're wondering who I am, and I'm not the next guy up in the series of speakers, I'm actually the pastor of SCF. And so Becky and I have been on a break for the last couple of weeks, few weeks, and so it's really, really a delight to be back with all of you. You are our home and our community. And it's been that way for the last 18 plus years. And actually this summer, Becky and I are starting our 19th year in the role as the pastor of SCF and our 22nd year of living in China. And so actually our 23rd year living in China. So yeah, so welcome. And for those of you who have been here just a year or two, you're just getting started. And we are really delighted to have you here at SCF. But today, I'm going to be bringing a word, a message from the prophet Jeremiah. And I'm just going to let Jeremiah speak for himself. And you're going to hear what he has to say. Now, I'm going to read this, but then be assured I'm going to give some context to it. So because you're going to hear the words go, where are we going with this? Where was Jeremiah going with this? So I'm going to read it. Because I'm pulling it right out of chapter 23, and there's some things that were said before, and there are some things that are said after this. So I'm going to give some context, but let me read these words from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 21 to 29. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But then, if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Next comes three rhetorical questions, but I'm going to answer them anyway. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God judge, and not a God far away? No, he's a God who is both near and far. You can't go anywhere where God is not, right? How about this next question, verse 24? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them? The answer is nowhere. Nowhere. You can't hide from God. Or the third question, do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? And of course, the rhetorical answer that we give is yes, he does fill heaven and earth with his presence. I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? That's where the title of today's message comes from, Fires and Hammers. Now, I can... See, maybe you're looking at me now saying, okay, Pastor Dale, what are you going to do with that? Where do we go with that word from? From the Bible, by the way, that Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, is speaking in the Bible. This is the Bible to us today, and God is speaking to us through his word today as well. So a little bit about Jeremiah and his time. Jeremiah was a prophet, in other words, a person who speaks for God. And he is used by God to speak to the community that he lives in and the nation that he lives in. This is the nation of Israel. We're going to go in today all about the people of Israel, this particular ancient people group who are still a people group today. But this is hundreds and hundreds of years ago, more than 2,000 years ago. But here's a time when their small nation, still a small nation then as now, was being threatened by a much larger superpower of its day, the nation of Babylon. I mean, the tanks are on the border, the armies are lined up, the chariots, the weaponry. I mean, it is all there, and they are moving in, crossing the border, moving toward their capital city, and it looks like everything is going to be lost. And it looks like an absolute and sure defeat. The army that they're facing of the superpower called Babylon is multiple times larger than the little army of the nation of Israel. And it looks like they're just going to be completely destroyed and crushed. And people in a time like this are looking for answers. Of course they are. This is a national crisis. And they're wanting to know, what does God think and what is God going to do? These are incredible, desperate times. And all is about to be lost. And so people are looking and listening for a voice of clarity, a voice of hope and promise. And so in times like this, as we all know, in times of great desperation, there doesn't seem to be any shortage of people who have something to say. And so people are saying, oh, the answer is over here. Just look over here. Just look over here. And you'll find the answer over here. Some are saying, no. This is what we need. This is what we need. Some are saying, the end is near. Sure fire. This is it. The end is near. And some are saying, you know what? We're going to be fine. I mean, I know this army of the Babylonians that's just going to swallow us up, this superpower on our borders. It looks really bad, but actually, I think we're going to be fine. I don't think we need to worry about anything here. I think peace is coming. I think we just kind of hold on. Everything's going to be all right. Just stop worrying. As one writer called this, he called these optimistic lies. Optimistic lies. Literally, these prophets that Jeremiah is pointing out to us today are saying to the city and its people, you will have peace. Don't worry. Don't be bothered with those armies on the border. You will have peace. No harm will come to you. And this is what the prophets, people who were in a role, just like Jeremiah, were supposed to be speaking for God, this is what they were saying. God says you're going to have peace. God says you're going to be okay. Except Jeremiah says, God is not saying that. God is not saying that. Jeremiah, who is also a prophet and also speaks for God, said these guys have it wrong. They're altogether wrong. What they're saying is false. This is not what God is saying. Now, to be fair to these guys, to these prophets who were saying under this tremendous, desperate situation that, hey, don't worry, it's all going to be good, peace is coming. To be fair to them, in Israel's history, there were times just like this one when it looked like they were doomed, looked like they were going to surely be defeated, when God delivered them. When the odds were completely against them, and it turned out that they were fine, and they were okay, and God delivered them. So in fairness to these prophets, perhaps they're a little confused about what God did then and what is happening now. But Jeremiah, who is also speaking for God, is saying and speaking a completely different word, which is also from God. And you can feel the tension, can't you? You can feel it here today. This group of people who are supposed to speak for God, they're saying one thing. This man over here who says he also speaks for God, he's saying something else. Actually, he's saying something very different than these guys are saying. And you can feel the tension that's rising. How do we know who is right? Well, in this particular case, we have some history. This is a historical setting. So we know that actually Jeremiah was right. Jeremiah was speaking the word from God because peace did not come. The Babylonians crossed the border and they broke down their city and everybody was taken into captive. And the false prophets who were given a false word were false. Peace did not come. God did not come in and rescue them and deliver them and give them that kind of victory. You see, there are always going to be competing voices giving false narratives, false teaching using the Bible to come to the wrong conclusion. Our challenge is going to be, how do we discern the false from the true? How do we know who is speaking for God and who is not speaking for God? Now, of course, this is history, so we can look back. We have the benefit of being able to look back and say, well, Jeremiah was right. We know he was speaking for God because he was right. What he was saying, everything he said came to pass. This kind of thing, people who say they speak for God but do not, are going to keep showing up. And they do keep showing up generation after generation after generation. There's no shortage of this. And you and I know that. Just turn on the internet and just press whatever you need to press. And it's everywhere, right? There's no shortage of this kind of thing. In fact, Jesus said that there would be a time in the future that he specifically warned us against false prophets, people who would speak and teach false things. Matthew 24, verse 5, Jesus said, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." All right, so what are we supposed to do? We're the ground troops. We're just an everyday person here. We're not Bible scholars. We're not religious scholars. We don't have a PhDs in ancient religious texts. You know, how do we know who we should believe and who we should listen to, who's speaking for God and who's not speaking for God? And I personally know some people who just actually, in the light of this kind of tension, just give up. Never mind, it doesn't matter, I don't care, let happen, whatever is going to happen. I can't sort it out. I just don't know what's going to happen, so I give up. I'm not even going to care anymore. And others, our response is just to get frustrated and begin to hold in contempt those who speak for God, because it's so hard to discern and demand so much of us to discern what should we be listening to, that it's so challenging for us that we just hold all things spoken by God and for God in contempt. And we don't want to go there either. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not hold prophecy in contempt. Jeremiah had a word for his people in that day, and this is God's word to us today. Number one, false teaching and false teachers will always turn us away from knowing and experiencing the character and nature of God as revealed in his word, the Bible. So false teaching, false teachers are always going to try to lead you and I away from the character of God and the nature of God that we have come to know and experience as we come to know and experience him, the God of the Bible, through his word. False teaching is going to lead us away from him. Names like Mighty Prince, character qualities like love and justice and mercy and holiness. He's the Mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's Wonderful Counselor. These are his names. This is his character. And this is how we come to know him. Because you don't just know the names of God, you experience the names of God. You just don't come to know the names of God like a list on a page that you memorize for a test at the end of the week. You come to know the names of God because he shared his name with you in his word, and then you come to know him by that name because that's how you experience him. Now, my name is Dale. My first name is Dale. It's an English word that means like a shallow valley, right? But if my name were Peace, and I was called Peace Kukau, you might think that whenever you encountered me, you would encounter peace. You might think that whenever you encountered me, you would have a peaceful experience because my name is Peace. It's not just my name, but it's also your experience with me. But for some of you who know me really, really well, including the young lady on the front row, you'll know that you don't always experience peace when you encounter Dale. Sometimes you get Grumpy Dale. Maybe my first name should be Grumpy. Grumpy Kukau. Sometimes, I know for some of you this is probably hard to believe, but sometimes you get Angry Dale. This guy's just angry. Sometimes you get Discouraged Dale. And even though my name is Peace, you may not always encounter peace when you encounter me, unlike God. Because when he says his name is Peace, every time you meet him, you meet peace. When he says his name is provider, every time you meet him, he provides. When he says his name is holiness, every time you meet holiness. When he says his name is mighty God, you encounter a mighty God. You came to know him not just because it was his name, but it was your experience with him. And false teaching and false teachers are leading us away from the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God in his name. False teachers, here's what we need to do to encounter or to counter this kind of thing that Jeremiah is warning us about. He's telling us we need to adapt to the word of God so that we can recognize the false. We need to adapt to the word of God, the Bible, so that we can recognize the false. Now, I've heard this story for many, many years. And so I thought to myself, today I was about ready to repeat this story that I heard for years. And I thought, you know what? You know, I've been told, I don't even remember now who told me that this was true. So I thought, just to kind of fact check myself, I did something for the first time. You guys are going to be really proud of me. I did something for the first time. I went to ChatGPT. And I typed in, do people who are trained to recognize the counterfeit money, are they trained by working with the real thing? Is that how you train somebody to recognize the counterfeit? By giving them a massive amounts of exposure to the real thing? Put that in ChatGPT. Yes, that's how it works. That's what happens. I've been saying this for years, and ChatGPT, it just kind of covered me. They got backed me up. You know, that people who work like bank tellers and other people who work with cash, you know, who are going to encounter the counterfeit, they learn what is fake by becoming very familiar with what is true. Same principle applies with God's word and the things that God speaks. Become very, very, very familiar with God's word and what he has spoken. Become familiar, very familiar with the real thing, and the real thing you can encounter in the Bible in God's word. Now, there's some specific things that Jeremiah points out for them and for us that we're going to highlight right now. This is not an exclusive thing, but these are the ones that Jeremiah talked about. He talked about dreams. And he let them know that dreams are not God's word. I also want to say this. There's nothing wrong with dreams. It's not the method, it's the content. I mean, Joseph in Genesis, he had a dream, right? And God helped him to see some things that were coming. Now, he went on a crazy journey, a path that took him places he probably had no idea he would ever go that way, or how God worked that dream out in his life was something he could have never seen coming. Or how about another Joseph at the birth of Jesus, who gets a dream from God to say, you need to take this child and you need to get out of Judea right now, because there are people who are wanting to take the life of this child. So God does speak through dreams, but dreams are not God's word. I especially like Acts chapter 2, when it says that young men will have visions and old men will dream dreams. I like that verse so much. Old men are going to dream dreams. I love that. Dreams should be affirmed by the word of God. We should build our life not on dreams, but we should build our life on his word. Matthew chapter 7, the word of God is a strong foundation. We build our lives not on our dreams and visions, but we build our lives on God's word to us, spoken in his word, the Bible. Get to know the Bible. By the way, that's why we're offering the Bible course, to help all of us get to know the Bible. And if this helps you to decide whether or not you want to come next week, we're starting this Sunday, I'm going to be there. And if that doesn't help, Sue is going to be there. So, you know, I mean, now you really want to come, right? So that's a week from today. Get to know the Bible. He says that the word of God should be spoken faithfully. At another time, but in a very similar need, Paul would write to Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you, Timothy, this charge. Preach the word. Preach the Bible. Be prepared in season and out of season, which probably means be faithful. Be faithful to the word, seeking God's word, seeking the Bible in every season of your life. You know, so I've been around a long time now, and I've had a lot of seasons behind me. And I keep going back to the Bible. Seasons change. Things happen you've never seen before. New experiences come along that you've never encountered before. You're not sure you're going to make it through. How do you find the help? Where do you find the strength? Where do you find the word from God to you for this new season? In the Bible, in His Word. That's where He's speaking to us. In every season, the Bible corrects, the Bible rebukes us, and it encourages us if we have the heart and an openness to receive God's correction and encouragement through His Word, the Bible. It's a living Word. It's not like just any book you might have. In my library, I have a lot of books about the Bible. I have books on individual books of the Bible. I have books that are 500 to 800 pages on the book of Philippians, the New Testament letter to the Philippian church, which is only 4 chapters long, and I got a 400-page book just on that little. And it's a wonderful thing, and I enjoy reading it, but it is not the same as reading God's Word itself. Words about the Bible are not the same thing as the Word of God itself. It's living. It's a living experience. By the power of the Spirit, when you read the Bible, it's worth your effort. It's worth the time to receive from God His Word to you. The authentic Word of God will do this for us. It will burn away what is false, what we have heard, what someone told us, what we read, what we were told as children that is false. The Word of God will help us clear, like a fire clears what is false, and break apart what is not true. Like a hammer. The authentic Word of God brings growth. You take a little baby, you know, your mom and dad are concerned, you know, the baby's not growing, he or she's only 5 or 6 months old, they're not putting any weight on, they take the baby to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, what are you feeding this baby? And you say, well, some beer and some Coca-Cola, and and he said, okay, there's your problem. What are you giving this baby? There is something that we give so that we grow, something that we consume, that we eat so that we will grow. The Word of God is designed to cause you and I to grow spiritually. Without it, we don't grow. With it, we will grow. That's what the Bible, the Word of God, is doing for us. I like this so much. I've tossed it in here for today. Again, thinking about His Word, the weapons, because Paul tells us that the Word of God, the Bible, is a sword. It is the only, Ephesians 6, it's the only offensive weapon that we have. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You want to take control of your thought life? Fill your thoughts with God's Word. Fill your thoughts with God's Word, the Bible. And lastly, stay close to Jesus, because He is the Word of God. Stay close to Jesus. You know, Jeremiah said, and there was a lot that we read there at the beginning, and you know, we were moving fast, but Jeremiah said that what makes the false teaching false, those guys he was calling out, hey, you guys are not speaking for God right here. You know, it's not true. God's not saying this. He said what makes the false teaching false is that it didn't come from God's counsel. You guys were not standing in God's counsel. If you were standing in God's counsel, you would have heard God's Word, but you weren't there when it was given. A significant feature of the true prophet is that they stand in God's counsel. If they had been in Yahweh's counsel, they would have known that His Word was not peace, but judgment. And for everybody who has ever lived and cried out, how long, O Lord, will this go on? How long will we suffer this injustice? How long will we be oppressed in this way? Jeremiah has a word from God to his people to say, now is the day when judgment is coming. It's no more. It's not going to happen anymore. It's done. We stop right here. And it is a word of submission to God Himself, to trust Him and in His mercy. The good news today for us is that Jesus stands in God's counsel. The good news for us is that Jesus stands in God's counsel, and he has opened up the door to God's counsel for you and I so that we might stand in this place that Jeremiah is talking about, so that we might receive God's word through the Son in the counsel of God. Jesus has claimed to have been and seen and heard all that goes on in the presence of God, his Father, and thus be fully authorized to speak on behalf of Yahweh. Jesus said, I am telling you that what I have seen in the Father's presence and what you are doing, what yet you have not heard from the Father. He saw the Father's presence. He stands in the counsel of God. And then he says to you and I, in Christ, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is the door into the relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus is the way for you and I to enter into the counsel of God, so the Holy Spirit might speak the word of God to you and to me for today, for now. Jesus is standing in the counsel of the Father, and he has opened the door for you to come in and join him, not as a servant, but as a friend. But as a friend. Where do I start? Well, know the Bible. Know more about the Bible. I know it can be at times intimidating to know and read the Bible, especially to not only read it and understand it, but then to apply it to our lives. Maybe you might have said, well, gosh, Pastor Dale, if I had read Jeremiah 23, 21 to 29, just on my own, you know, Jeremiah day, flipping, I would have said, I have no idea what to do with that. It's like, God, that was wow, that was something, what you just did with all that right there. But I don't know how to do that. But you can know. You can know how to read God's Bible, God's word, with confidence. And that course that we're starting next week is going to help you to do that, to gain a confidence in reading the Bible as God speaks to you in his word. It is his word to you and to me and to his community. And we start by knowing Jesus. I'm sure all of us have had the experience where we just didn't feel very well, I mean physically. You know, we haven't been feeling well. Last couple of days, I don't know, I'm just not myself. I don't feel well. I know something isn't right, but you just keep living with the symptoms, not knowing that we're getting worse. Should I go see the doctor? Should I? I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't really feel good. I normally feel better than this, but yeah, some kind of odd things are kind of happening. I've got some things going on, but I don't know. Do I do something about this? Do I wait? Do I wait till I see the doctor? Do I just wait? Will this pass? I don't feel well. And what we don't know is that things are getting worse. Jesus said of himself that he did not come for righteous people. He came for people who are not well. Because he has stood in the counsel of God, and he has a word of healing for your soul. He has stood in the counsel of God, and he has a word of healing for your soul. Aren't you tired of being sick? Aren't you tired of not feeling well? Aren't you tired of the uncertainty? Am I going to get better on my own, or does it just go away by itself? Or should I see someone? I want to tell you about the someone you should see. He's Jesus. And he has a word of healing for your soul. You know, in another place in the book of Revelation, it tells us that Jesus is standing at the door knocking. Maybe Revelation chapter 2, I think. And for years, I used to read that thinking, oh, he's knocking on the hearts of someone who doesn't know him. Like, who he doesn't live in that person's life. So he's saying, hello, I'm Jesus, and I'd like to come in and live with you and introduce myself. But actually, when you go and look at that, he's knocking on the hearts of the people who already know him. Why aren't we letting him in when we already belong to him? He has stood in the counsel of God, and he has a word for you. Let's pray. Father, you know us, and you know that at times we're sailing along and life is good and we're doing great. We don't think about it much because everything's going so well. But not always. Sometimes we're not doing that well. You know that sometimes, Father, that we hear different things from different places and people, and we're just not sure. We're genuinely confused. We don't know what to believe. I pray for all of us in this room today to receive your word that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that there's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. That Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And that Jesus came to heal our souls and to give us life, that we might live life abundantly in his name. I pray, Father, for those of us who are here today who have never really opened up ourselves to embrace God in his Son Jesus, opened up our minds, dropped our resistance, and decided once and for all to surrender our lives to Jesus. So let's do that today. Let's do that today. We've heard this before. We've heard this message before. We've heard about Jesus before. Or maybe this is the first day, but you want to say yes to God in Christ, in Jesus, and receive him into your life. And so as you pray, I'm not going to pray for you. This is a prayer that you're going to pray, but I'll give some guidance. So we pray, Father God, forgive me. Forgive me for being so stubborn. Forgive me for being so rude. Forgive me for the things that I have done. And you and I both know what those are. You know, and yet you love me. And you are drawing me, you're calling me to yourself. God, I want to say here and now that I'm laying things down. I'm laying my resistance down. I'm laying my anger down. I'm laying my pride down. I'm just emptying myself before you so that you might fill me up. I'm different. I'm going to be different. I'm going to turn away from what I've been into in a life I've tried to live without you in it, and I'm going to start following you. Forgive me for all these things. Fill me with your Spirit. Renew me so that I might be new in you. Jesus, heal my soul and heal my heart as I call on you. For as we pray in the name of the one who has stood in the counsel of God himself, it's in his name that we pray. Amen.